I felt like I could finally tell people I was a professional golfer because I'd just been playing mini tours and Monday qualifiers and glorified money games for 3 years. And yes, I had some success in those, but it was always, hey, what tour are you on? And it's like, well, so it's exciting that I get to say, hey, I have a little validation of like, hey, I am a professional golfer and I get to do this for a living. And that's what's crazy about golf is, if you Monday qualify and you play 4 good rounds in a tournament, you're playing in the Masters next year. When you take your foot off the gas or you start to be cautious is a lot of times when you let up and you make a big mistake.
All right. Well, this is going to be a fun one because I'm sitting here with my friend that I still call Blaney, but that's not how the world's going to know you. It's Blaine Hale Jr. Yes, man, you are one of the top... not 125 because those guys from last year have 125, top 150, 200 golfers in the world that have this amazing privilege of holding. What's the actual number of guys who can say this current year, not with past champion status or money status, but who hold a card at any given time? Around 200 guys own, actually, you know, not trying to get sponsors exemptions or past champion status or money status, but just own their card. Around 200 guys when you take the Korn Ferry winners, everything. Amazing. Right? So we are talking to a professional athlete. How many golfers are there in the world?
I'm not sure. There's thousands.
Okay, but if
hundreds of thousands, millions.
But if you're four, okay, if there's millions, and you were 4,000, I think we probably upped your number a little bit. We just said the world's going to recognize you and you're in the top 200 right now, okay, at least with a card. And we know world rankings go, because golf world rankings, really, that they list on the website, go to like 250, don't they?
In terms of what?
Like right now, if I type in world golf rankings.
You can go all the way down. It goes.
How deep's it go? Apparently to 4,000.
I don't know. I didn't know it was 4,000.
I don't think you can find me, but come on. Lay it on me. So what do you think I'm ranked?
I'd probably say in the 100,000.
You think I'm in the 100,000s?
I would think so.
God, that is one of the nicer golf compliments I think I've ever received.
If you can shoot, there's not a lot of golfers that can shoot 80 or better.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty consistently.
Okay.
I mean, decent amount.
Yeah.
And you can do that, and you've done that.
Yes, yes.
To where... Yeah, I'd say probably in the 100,000.
Top 100,000. Wow. All right. Well, there we go. Put that little feather in my cap.
Yeah. There
so
you
I'm
go.
Just 99,800 away from being right where you are.
Just a couple good rounds away. That's all it is. I had a buddy, Sam Stevens, who's on the PGA Tour. He always used to say, "You're 5 good rounds from playing in the Masters."
Wow, that's true.
And that's what's crazy about golf is if you Monday qualify and you play 4 good rounds at a tournament, you're playing in the Masters next year. So that's kind of what happened to me this last week was for me, it was 12 good rounds from being on the PGA Tour, but that's what happened for me through Q School this year was putting together, 12 good rounds through my three stages.
Today's conversation has probably three goals to it. One, folks that tune in, I guess, that listen to this podcast, they maybe will grab episodes that really are meaningful to them. But I really always, when we're on here, we want to have everything we do, right? Give glory to God and the way we have the conversation. But it's also going to serve a purpose that because you're going to get bombarded with questions and a lot of folks aren't going to get to have dinner, a meal, coffee, or a conversation with you. So this can be a place you can send them. It's going to hopefully be a tool for you. Like, go listen to this because Todd asked me all those questions.
I got them all on record.
That's right. They're laying down there. And then obviously, we want to also talk about because there's parallels to what you've been through. Right, you just got to this moment in your life that is, I think you said you've been dreaming about it since you were 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and hey, I meant to ask you this. And did we give you because so Blaney and I played on a semi PGA sanctioned event before, kind of tongue in cheek, right?
Yeah.
So somebody was kind enough to let me play in the Gold Pro Am with Byron. Mm-hmm. And that's a lottery. Once you're in, somebody, one of the past presidents of the salesmanship club had given me his spot. He said, Todd, go play in this, enjoy it. And then you still are in a lottery, but we got the first pick. I think we took, and we played with Vijay.
Yeah.
Right. And so then I had a caddy, but your dad caddied for me.
Yes.
And then
Cooper and I tagged along.
You tagged along.
Skipped school and the whole thing.
And why wouldn't you? How old were you? Do you remember?
We were probably... Eight?
Did
maybe?
We? Okay,
seven
so
eight?
Here's my question because they take pictures and all that. Yeah. Did we give those to you? My wife and I were thinking about trying to find those.
I don't think I have those pictures of me. You,
okay,
Cooper,
I'm going to find them because it is. It's, I think at the end of the day is like and there was it was a lot of fun. But I mean, you thought about because I knew you at the time loved golf, right?
Yes.
And Cooper loved a lot of different things, but you love golf. And who knew that one day, right?
Yeah.
you'd be on that very tour.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's one of the things I'll probably be most excited about is playing in the Byron Nelson and getting to play in Dallas in front of friends and family and a dream come true of something that I've always dreamed of playing in a PGA Tour event.
Okay, so we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk golf, which is maybe not what was typically on here, but there's going to be some relevant crossovers. Is it I know, like, Coop, my wife and I probably would have flown down there, too. We were at a wedding, and we couldn't. But I know Coop and a couple of guys flew down there to be there on the last day, which was delayed till Monday because of the weather. You like it when friends are watching you?
Oh, yeah. I love it. I've always enjoyed – I mean, golf, it's – when you're playing on a big stage, it's an entertainment business. And, you know, I'd love to be an entertainer. So I love to show off and get to perform and – play in front of friends and family. And I feel like it's more of a comfort thing. I like having people there and cheering for me. And I've always enjoyed getting claps and that kind of thing. So for me, that's always been really fun and exciting to get to kind of show off. And
okay. So play. For the 100 to 150 people that feel like they're in your inner circle, mm-hmm. right? The people that feel like, of course she's going to get me tickets, right? Yeah. those way too many people, right? Yeah. Okay. You know, what are some like do's and don'ts, like when they're following you out there on the course, like, you know, hey guys, I want to acknowledge you between holes. Yes. No. I want to, you know, just like, hey, cheer for me. But like, this is people that have a relationship with guys like you in a situation like this. Yeah. What if you're like, hey man, come on. I do want to entertain. I want to have you along for the ride, but this is a yes.
I can't
this
do
is a
too
no.
much. Yeah. Right. For me, cheer as much as you want. Obviously, be really quiet for me and the other players, respectful of the other guys I'm playing with, and cheer for the other guys as well. I don't want it to be like just a me thing. Yeah. It just is more fun when all the guys that you're playing with are playing together. Because a lot of times, this Q School is always a weird experience because most tournaments, you're just playing to go win.
Yeah.
Whereas Q School, you're just kind of playing to get through.
Right.
And so even the guys in my group last week, the three of us, we're kind of trying to feed off each other to keep a good mojo in the group going so that we can
all advance.
Make it. Yeah, because Q School is weird. If you finish fifth or first, the only difference is a little bit of cash.
Right.
Other than that, you still get your status either way.
That's why you're there, yeah.
And so that's always, Q School is always a weird tournament because of you're kind of wanting to feed off each other so that you all play well.
But the same is true. Like, so I've had friends, I think you know, that have been on the tour that I've been friends with for a long time. And, you know, when you have one guy that's 4 under, another guy's at 6 over. It's tough.
It's tough.
Yeah. But if everybody's playing 2, 3 under, the whole group
starts to get going a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, someone makes a putt, you make it on top of him. So
okay, but they're walking with you. They show up on the third hole, right? Yeah. Because they couldn't park close and all this, and they finally get there. You want them saying hi to you? Want to talk to you between holes?
A lot of times, I'll be the one to approach. So I'll come over and say hi, or I'll come over and say hello.
You don't want to yell, like, hey, Blaney. Trying to impress their girlfriend. Watch, I know this guy. Hey, Blaney.
Yeah, yeah. It's always a lot better. Like,
let me say,
because I'm trying to keep everything quiet.
You're working.
Yeah, and exactly, I'm working.
And you're still you, right? But I mean, you got to be focused, right? For them to have fun. And this is what's so weird. People, I think they understand this, but they kind of don't. I mean, they're stepping into your office, and it's an amazing office.
Beautiful.
Right? But it's still, you've got to do your job to be able to welcome them back to this fun environment that this gift that you've got and skill and you know, that you've worked to develop. You know, so you can keep doing it. But it's so funny because you talk to guys, like, you realize so many people are along for the ride. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that part of the pressure?
I probably didn't realize how many people are along for the ride until these last 2 weeks of just the amount of text and calls and congratulations and all the stuff that it's just been flooding my phone. From getting through second stage was a huge accomplishment for me. And then, you know, the cherry on top of actually getting your PGA Tour card was...
Did you get any texts that just surprised you? Like, oh, how do you know he had my number?
No, but it was just like, wow, like, this guy still has my number. This guy remembered to even text me. So I was super thankful for all the congratulations.
What was the number when you looked at your phone on Monday night?
So I started getting after it when I got home Monday night just because I wanted to get through them all. And
yeah.
When I sat down, it was around like 480.
Yeah,
which is not like terrible, but then you start responding,
and they respond back.
And so then, like, There was a point there where I responded for about an hour, and I think my text had gone down like two messages because everyone's responding and,
right.
and all stuff. So, but it was, I got through them all. And
okay, this is your big moment for folks who are going to listen to this, the Blaney Posse, and the now growing number of fans are going to love you because it's a great story, man, right? I mean, what was the name of the PGA pro last year that did well in the PGA?
Michael Block.
Michael Block, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a wild story.
Very wild.
Just give everybody who doesn't know golf, give them that story real quick.
Yeah, he's a PGA of America guy. He got in the PGA championship.
Okay, so people don't even understand that, right?
So he was like club pro. He was your normal.
There we go.
He was your normal, you know, give you lessons, you know, at Royal Oaks or DAC. He's just a guy that works behind the desk type of guy.
So just so folks know, there's a lot of people that are PGA pros that are not the PGA pros they see on TV.
They're not PGA Tour. They're just part of the professional golfers.
There you go. That's the distinction, right? So in Dallas, we live in Dallas, up in Frisco, is the PGA
headquarters,
but it's the PGA golfers. Professional golfers, not the PGA Tour.
Right.
Those headquarters are in
Jacksonville.
There we go. Okay. So a lot of times, but what they do, there's this tournament, which is one of the majors.
One of the majors, PGA Championship.
That they let the PGA of America, all the pro shop pros.
They have a big qualifying tournament where about 10 to 15 guys make it through and get to play in the actual PGA Championship.
Which is so cool.
It's awesome.
And usually if one of or two of them makes a cut, it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
And then last year, Michael Block
ended up finishing, I think, top 15.
Yeah.
Or top 12. I think maybe top 12, which ends up actually. And he had a great, he made a hole in one on 16 or 17 on the last day.
Yeah, that's right.
Made a crazy up and down on 18.
So rank these three great golf miracle stories: Michael Block, John Daly, who won the PGA. He was a PGA Tour player, right? A conditional status or something.
Very minimal status.
Minimal status. And then won the PGA.
Right.
And then Blaney Hale, 4,300 and something, never played in one PGA sanctioned event, which was a Korn Ferry event that you got a sponsor's exemption for.
Yes.
Right? And then you get your PGA Tour card.
I mean, you got to think it's probably John Daly being a ninth alternate to start the week and ends up winning the tournament.
Yes.
Pretty crazy.
That's
a
crazy.
Major championship.
That would be, to me, the greatest one. Yeah.
You got to give Michael Block top 12 in a major championship. Credit, and then we'll slide mine.
You're third. You get the bronze.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Third biggest story in golf history.
And third. And I was third last week. I'm comfortable being third.
That's awesome. Okay, so anyway, but this is your chance. Now that you're there and you got all this posse around you, right? So this is your chance to tell your friends, like you said, text me after wins. Don't text me after wins. Say hi to me. Don't say hi to me. You know, just kind of lay the ground rules.
Of course. Always text me. I'm always happy to respond and say thanks.
And so we'll put Blaine's cell number on the podcast. So
text me as much as you want.
Tens of thousands of new fans that can text all he wants. His wife, Allison, will love that. All right. But now let's go back to where, okay, because that last, 10, 15 minutes, just talking about some of that fun stuff. You know, we'll come back to some of the fun part.
Yeah.
But there's so much, people don't realize that all the folks that were so excited to be there and at your house to surprise you when you came back, that night, it was so fun. There's the other years, right? Where everybody's like, hey, are you going to, it's a constant questioning for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of like almost like a single person where people meet you, you go, hey, you date anybody? It just never stops.
That's a very perfect example of what it's like. And yeah, I even told Allison after I made it through second stage, I felt like I could finally tell people I was a professional golfer. Huh. Because I'd just been playing mini tours and Monday qualifiers and glorified money games for 3 years. And yes, I had some success in those, but it was always, hey, what tour are you on? And it's like, well, I'm not on a tour. I play these mini tour events in small town Oklahoma and middle of nowhere Kansas. And so it's exciting that I maybe get to say, hey, I have a little validation of like, hey, I am a professional golfer and I get to do this for a living. And so that was really...
But the thing is, you were for the last... You won national championship OU what year?
In 19. Or we won in 17. I graduated in 19.
Okay. So you won national championship 2017. 2019, you graduate. So for the last 4 years, you've been one of those professional golfers that everybody keeps asking you the questions, like, are you dating anybody? Like, are you really a professional golfer?
Right.
Right?
And so now it just feels like I have a little bit of validation of, hey, yeah, like I'm actually decent.
But and again... We've all known you were,
yeah.
right? And that's what's so crazy about golf. Like you've already said, five good rounds, you're in the Masters. Monday qualifying, play good 4 days, win the tournament, and you get in the Masters that year. You know, there's so many guys that on any given day can go out. And that's one of the things I love about golf, right?
For sure.
I'm ranked in the top several hundred thousand, you've already told me. So, but on any given hole, I can birdie a hole that you'll par.
For sure.
And I beat a professional golfer.
Easily.
Right? Now, I can't do that 18 consecutive holes over 4 days, but that's what makes golf so great. Guys at your level, you can do it for 18 consecutive holes. You can just, and then next thing you know, you can do it for three straight days, and then it just comes to you.
Right.
And you almost like, oh my gosh. And so that's just amazing. But so many guys, like some of the best golfers in the world, they just can't string it together when they have to. Right? Would you agree with that?
For sure.
You and I both know guys that I'm telling you, there's a couple of guys I've got specifically in mind that when I play with them and other guys that are on tour, they almost always beat them. Now, the guys on tour maybe aren't grinding as much, but that guy, when money's on the line or when it
– Oh, yeah.
They can't do it. You probably saw that even in college golf.
For sure. There's definitely some guys that we had on our team and that you could tell started to close up when the pressure got on.
So why do you think that is? This is – because now this has application just to life.
Yeah.
Right?
It's expectation. It's what happens if I don't. It's not what happens if I do.
Yeah.
Kind of mindset of you start to run scenarios. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. And you change all the stuff that, you know, I was talking to a guy yesterday and he was saying, you know, you go into prevent defense. You know, what happens in prevent defense is you lose. And so that's a little bit what happened to me on 18. I started kind of getting into prevent defense because I was just trying to get in the house and I hit a ball in the water, which I hadn't done for 71 holes. So when you take your foot off the gas or you start to be cautious is a lot of times when you let up and you make a big mistake.
Yeah. So, I mean, and this is the thing, right? So how have you, because it's a big deal, like even when you're on the mini tours, right? And you're like, I might win an event. And now I can tell people I won an event as a professional golfer, even on a mini tour. But especially when you're making through the stages, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, second stage, third stage. Was it just three or was it four?
First, second, and finals.
Yeah, it's fourth. Or third, right? Sorry, three. So, but anyway, so what do you do to just in that moment? And I mean, I want to tie this into your faith, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things, Blaney, it's been really fun to watch your 26 years is your faith. You know, there's been an arc to that story, like there is for all of our faiths, right?
Yeah.
When would you say, I mean, I know you've grown up around a mom and dad that love you, prayed for you, modeled what it means to try and seek the Lord and all that different stuff. When did that part become yours?
truly mine, it was probably 2020. And then through college, I was just consistently half in, half out. I was one foot in one camp, one foot in the other, and I couldn't pick a side. And I liked to have fun.
Talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like to go out with my friends and go to the bars and have fun. And then I also went on mission trips with College Golf Fellowship, you know, so 1 week I was doing this at a retreat here in Dallas with College Golf Fellowship. And the next week I was buying drinks at the bar. And so, that was kind of my consistent journey through college of read my Bible some weeks, other weeks I'm, you know, just hanging out with my friends. And so now I had a ton of fun doing that as well. And I needed that season to realize what I was missing. Because I thought, you know, one way was life and one way was rules. And so I got done with school and came back to Dallas and Dragan, my CGF guy, finally looked at me in the eye and was like, what are you going to do? You know, you can pick one side or the other, but you can't keep playing from both sides. And so that was really when I started to invest in my faith, invest in good friendships, get back with Cooper and old friends back in Dallas, and change your playground, like you say all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really where I started to just slowly walk in the correct direction.
Okay, so man, I want to go back and pick through some of that stuff because this is really helpful for people. Because even now, you know, Blaney, you watch, you know, when one of the things that I tried to share with people is like, look, when life gives you sweetness and good, enjoy it. I mean, God gave us taste buds for a reason.
Yeah.
Right. But we're supposed to eat and drink to the glory of God, and that means I think, right? So when the Bible says eat and drink to the glory of God, it means that I should be thankful that God gave me taste buds, God gave me filet mignon, gave me lobster and butter, right? He gave me bluebell ice cream, whatever your jam is. He gave you good stuff. But you don't act like I'm going to claw over three people, step on their head, steal and rob and do whatever I've got to do to get that stuff. Right. Or I can't be happy unless I've got that stuff, all right? Because, you know, you want to be content. You want to be, hey, look, Lord, as much as I love things of this world and food, mm-hmm. right? And whatever the right drink is that would fit that little story for you, I love you more. You're so right. I'm not going to act like this is not why I live. I don't live to eat or drink. I live to honor God. And one of the things that's amazing about God is every now and then he gives us honey.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of Brussels sprouts and string beans in the world. So when you get honey,
enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And so you're in a honey season right now.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's why I just told you, man, enjoy the crap out of it, right? You absolutely should. You should celebrate it with friends and you should, you know, thank God. But one of the things that, you know, that I think one of the reasons I think guys can't perform so much is because honey or PGA Tour cards is their life.
Right.
And so when they're not just making a shot, they're God's on the line. Because mm-hmm. if I don't get this, you know, if I don't get my card, if I don't get to eat and drink this, I won't have the life that I want.
Yeah.
Completely. Don't you agree?
Completely. Completely. It is everything or nothing for those guys.
Yeah.
And that's that going into why I think I've been able to have some more success this year than others is just realizing kind of where your identity is and understanding that I'm not loved because I go shoot 67. I'm not loved because I, you know, win a golf tournament. I'm loved because I have great friends and family and a God that loves me no matter what. And so I'm super thankful for my support system. That's why I don't care if I get 7,000 texts on my phone. I mean, that's just a good support system of happy for me. And it's pretty amazing all the messages of, hey, continue to share your story. Continue. This was really cool to see. And so,
well, that was one of the best things I thought you did. What was it, day two? When did the media really start? Well, I guess, day one, you were what? What were you ranked?
I was in the top 10 all week, but I'd say after the third round is where some of those interviews started to pop up.
Yeah, and you remember what you said? I mean, I know you've had a lot of interviews since then, but you remember what you said when the guy asked you about, do you realize what's at stake and you know, what you're going to be playing at next year?
Yeah, I mean, God's in control, and I'll be where I'm supposed to be.
There you go. Right. Now you still got to go out and play golf, right? But what you just said is, hey, I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be next year. Mm-hmm. And I think where most people, and Blaine, this is one of the reasons I wanted to have this conversation, in the midst of talking about all the fun, because it is fun, right? It's really fun. We're gonna talk about, you know, all the great courses you're going to get to play in the best of conditions, driving the newest of cars.
That was one of the things I was more excited about was the courtesy cars.
So we're going to talk about all that because people have no idea what it's like to be a professional golfer to hold your PGA Tour card. It is pretty cool. But I mean, it can be so cool to some people that they even though they're really gifted, oh my gosh, I'm about to get this, gets in their way mm-hmm. and they can't perform, right? But there is this sense, and it goes back to what you were saying was going on while you were in college, because I want to pick it apart a little bit, because one of the things I heard you say is, yeah, I was having fun, right? Yeah. On this side, and there was rules on this side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Would you still describe it that way, or is that the way you were thinking then?
That's the way I was thinking
okay,
then.
Okay, good. So, yes. So explain what the fun was.
You know, the fun was getting drunk with your friends and hanging out and staying up late and going to bars and just being stupid and being a college kid. I mean, I know so many guys have made these same mistakes and it was fun. I have great friendships with those guys and we laugh about stupid videos we have and we laugh about, you know, stupid stories of someone tripping over a trash can. You just stupid stuff.
So here's my question. What would you say to a freshman in college who's a college athlete like you were, who goes, I'm going to have some fun and I'll get serious about my faith, you know, 2 years out of college, like kind of like Blaine did. And then, I'll get a piece that passes understanding, like kind of like Blaine did, and then I'll be able to play golf as if it's not my God, like Blaine did, and then I'll get my card. But I'm gonna have the fun first before I go to the life of rules. What would you say to that young man?
I would try and show him where real fun is.
There you go.
So
explain that, because I think a lot of people, and that's why I want to go back and pick it apart, because I think I know you well enough to go, yeah. When you say fun and rules, that's the way you used to think.
That's the way my college brain thought.
So quiz, you've sat underneath my teaching and leadership for 20 years. What's I've got a couple of go-to phrases. One of them is, God's not looking to rip you off.
Right.
He's looking to set you free. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think, you know, you can't, how would you try and convince somebody though, that God's not trying to rip them off from the fun that college kids are supposed to have? And frankly, some guys have through their 20s, mm-hmm. through the 30s, through their first divorce, until they realize this isn't very fun. How would you, what would be your sales pitch? Like, come on, man, you don't need that.
I think the biggest thing would be, I think college kids, especially I was, is extremely stubborn and wants to do things their own way. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the best way to do it is to show and lead by example. So bring them in, invite them to a CGF meeting, invite them to just to hang out at my house, invite them to—
Show them a different kind of fun.
Show them what I'm talking about with fun. Because I can say, hey, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. But until you actually give them something to taste, it's going to be hard for them to want to not do their own thing.
Okay, but so man, you're quoting scripture now. Psalm 34, taste and see the Lord is good,
yeah.
Right? And you know, come and see is all through scripture.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what you're saying is invite them over there to this, but you were in that. I mean, like, you lived around come and see people.
The biggest thing too for me was I did not have other guys running with me. And that's where I would have really changed things in college, is find guys that were running after Christ and spend more time with them. Because that was the biggest thing for me, was getting back in Dallas, was being with other like-minded individuals that were in close proximity.
Yeah, and you already kind of said this. You said the way to change your life, right? Anybody who's in any kind of recovery program or circles of addicts, right? Mm-hmm. So you made reference to, I said it, but it's language. It's not mine. It's been around for a long time. But you got to change your playmates.
Oh yeah.
And your playground, mm-hmm. right? And so if you really want to change your life, okay, you got to change your playmates. And one of the things I love that you and Coop and all the geese, let's give a shout out to the geese.
Geese, they need a shout out. They showed up this week.
They did show up. Okay. So tell people who the geese are. It's a flock of birds you run with.
The geese are our fantasy football group text.
They made the podcast.
They did.
They'll be so proud.
They will be so excited.
Okay. So this is just your group of guys. It's yeah. You know, it's kind of fun. I mean, how do we even get the name geese? How'd that start?
I mean, I think it came from Lanham.
I'm not. I get entered into the text message usually for about 15 minutes.
Quarterly. About every 4 or 5 months. And then you get the boot.
Yeah, because it's not for me. This is a bunch of young birds, right? Uh-huh. But every now and then they let me in, and they lovingly call me names, and then I get to interact, and then I'm ejected again. And so, but Lana, so your buddy Connor?
I think it was like a thing from his high school football team or something.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
But I guess you could say it's birds of the feather flock together. And so these are all guys that are, you play fantasy football, you just jack around like men, but you know, it's not drunkenness and exploitation of women.
No.
Right. I mean, there is maybe some banter that is
least than desired,
less than Ephesians 4:29 certified. Okay. But which is why I get kicked out, because I point that out at times. But you know, over here, you know, but by and large, what's there is a group of guys that want to see everybody excel still more
in
faithfulness.
Celebrate each other.
Yeah, and celebrate mm-hmm. each other and be good friends and remind each other that, man, life is where Christ is. Mm-hmm. And so many people don't have that, right? They don't have those. Yeah, what a gift that is. And then also when you get over, so we talked about how fun and rules that are over here.
Right.
So the rules side, okay, it's so interesting, because when you said that fun of rules, and this is really, I hope folks track with this, because so many people think, oh yeah, of course Blaine loves God now because he just got his PGA Tour card.
No, yeah, it's not. It's been a long journey of getting to this point.
Yeah.
Of my faith and following Christ and having a relationship with him. And that starts with the foundation, which I feel like really started once I got out of college, of understanding you know, where my identity lies and where true joy and peace and happiness comes from. And then it's slowly built over years of, I go back to 2021 or really 2020 to 2021 was easily my worst year of golf of my life. But I look back on that year as being the best year of my life. Because I found my wife, I found my faith, I found great friends, and those things have continued to grow these last couple of years.
So do you think you had to play bad golf to find your faith?
No.
I don't either.
No.
Right, but did God use that?
Probably. He drew me closer to him through that season for sure.
Yeah. And so what do you think it is? Because you're around, you know, I know the people that you've been running with or around, your family's been around, and there were lots of guys. Like, I mean, we were like, hey, come on, Blaney. There's the fun. Yeah. I would have said to you, and I think I did, there's a way that seems right to man, mm-hmm. right? That seems like fun to man. But I'm telling you, in the end, it's the way of death.
Yeah.
And so I think we got to put this in there, right? Because in the midst of all that fun and tripping over trash cans and all this different stuff,
there was
some death over there.
For sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things people do when they share their testimony sometimes is they talk about, like, before I trusted Christ, man, it was just partying and laughing and girls and this, and it was just crazy times. And but then I found Jesus, and since then I'm a good boy. Now, that is not a compelling testimony.
No.
In fact, it makes people go like, well, geez, it sounds like almost your BC life was more fun and life-giving than your AD life, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not your story.
No.
So that's why I'm triple clicking on this.
Yeah.
Fun versus rules. What words would you use today instead of fun versus rules?
Lost and found would be the two. Would be the difference of the fun and the rules. You know, it was just lost. It was searching for something. And so, I mean, you've never seen someone that's lost that is a happy person or is a joyful person. You know, they might find something that gets them excited, but they're still lost at the end of the day.
And so the proverb says this, even in laughter, the heart might be sad.
Yeah.
And the end of joy may be grief,
mm-hmm.
right? Or the end of their partying may be grief. In fact, it will be all the time. You know, I tell people, you know, one of the phrases I use is that, you know, it's an old Indian, not, as they say, not feather, but dot Indian, right? Like, Eastern Indian is, you know, he who rides a tiger must prepare to dismount. Like when you ride a tiger, it's like people are like, you're the life of the party. Like, look at that dude. He's
crazy.
He's a madman.
He's crazy.
He's crazy and he's having a blast, but like, who can ride a tiger? Well, I guess everybody can ride a tiger until they can't.
Right.
And then when you fall off, that tiger's typically going to swing back around and have its way with you, right? Mm-hmm. And maul you. And that's just what happens. That's the way that seems right to man, but in the end is the way of death. And so, I mean, I like what you're saying. I would use lost and then found.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what would be, you know, Blaney, again, talk to your 2017 self. What would be your counsel?
My counsel would be go find like-minded individuals. Like, go find some Christ-following believers and spend time with them. And just see the difference.
And your 17-year-old self, I'm at OU. I'm a golfer. None of the guys on my team. I'm with my team 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
Right? There's nobody on my team that wants to really run with Jesus. I don't have that option.
I would tell them to reach out to Dragon, to CGF, to guys, and just find them. Find people. Because they're there. They're there, and you can, if you search and look for them, you'll find them.
Yeah. And you've already gotten some texts from guys that are on tour. And I know a lot of guys on tour that really are mm-hmm. the right playmates, and their playground is not the PGA Tour. Their playground is faithfulness with Christ. Mm-hmm. But you already got a text, didn't you? I think you know, through the grapevine, I think I heard that somebody just said, "Man, I'm so glad you're here. We got to run together." There's not very many guys, right?
So yeah.
Didn't you
Sam
already get
Stevens.
Was Sam who did that? Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want to throw his name out there, but I thought it was Sam. But I mean, there are lots of guys. Even when no one thinks there's anybody out there, there's always somebody.
Somewhere.
And honestly.
And I even look back on that time now, and there were guys that came up and tried to start those conversations, and I push him to the side just because I was doing my thing.
Yeah.
I was in my own lane.
You hadn't been bucked off the Tiger yet.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think, and there was some, right? That you rode the Tiger and you got dismounted a few times.
For sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A lot of disappointment.
Yeah. And some scars, right? Mm-hmm. I think from some of that stuff and some things you have to just take to the cross and just go, Lord, you're sufficient for these things. And God doesn't want you to have that, right? No. I mean, the famous quote that I at least give credit to Kirby for saying, that she said she heard from me and Cooper says is mine, and Cooper wants to be mine because he has put in the family will that he gets to inherit all my quotes, which doesn't seem like a big deal to me, but they tease about it. You got to get something. That's pretty much all I'm going to have left to give them, is that Kirby says that my testimony is because I, from an early age, began to walk with Jesus, I have more joy and less scars.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because I started figuring out right away, this is where
life is.
Yes, life indeed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, meanwhile, there is so much, C.S. Lewis has a famous quote, and the quote is this, is that, you know, God gives us, you know, this life is hard, and it's a journey towards home. And God will give us a few inns along the way to refresh us, but never so many as to make us think we're home.
Right.
Right? And this, that's why I'm telling you, like, hey, when you had four great days of golf, and now you're going to relive it, because now everybody's going to live and die with every cut.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah. Every top 10 finish or top 20 finish, or is he going to make 125 next year so he has better status? It never stops.
Never ends. No. Yeah, I could win the FedEx Cup next year, and it would be like, is he going to make the Ryder Cup? Is he going to make the President's Cup? It's always consistent. I mean, it's never going to stop.
Yes. And so you want to do well with all of that, okay? But the goal, right, is to just say, hey, every day, whatever I do, in word or deed, whatever I do, it should be done to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And that does give you a peace. And is it fun when you make the Ryder Cup? For sure. Like I have friends who have won multiple times on tour.
Yeah.
And they made a Ryder Cup. Right? And there's a sense of dang. Right? I've got guys who've won multiple times on tour and they've never won a major.
It's never enough.
Right? And then I'm a guy that won only one major. It's just, you know, the famous quote with Rockefeller is, they asked him one day, they go, how much money is enough? And he goes, just $1 more. Yeah. Right? Uh-huh. Just got to get a little better status. Now I've got my card. Now I got to keep my card. What do you think about this? So harder to get your PGA Tour card or harder to keep it?
I would say get it.
I think so.
I would say get it, but I'm not sure.
Well, everybody,
I haven't done it.
And well, everybody's told me it's harder to get it than to keep it, and it is not easy to keep it.
Oh, definitely not. No. I was talking to, we had an orientation thing the day after at PGA Tour headquarters, and I was talking to Jason Gore, who is a player representative, and he was saying, now you're playing the PGA, so I mean, all these guys have played these courses for many times. He goes, now you're playing the best players in the world on their home golf course every week.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's a big mountain in front of me as well that I'm going to have to figure out.
So what course are you looking forward to that you're probably going to get to play this year? Are you most looking forward to?
I'd probably say the Byron Nelson. I mean, Craig Ranch is not my favorite course in the world, but just that experience will be really fun.
Yeah. Well, is it back there? When are they moving the Byron Nelson
up? I think it's one more year at Craig Ranch and then maybe moving it.
Then they move it to Frisco.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I don't think they know. Yeah. But it's back at Craig Ranch.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So you're looking forward to that because it's going to be your hometown.
Colonial would be really cool because they're redoing it right now and it'll be the first year with the new golf course. So if I can make it into Colonial, that would be a really cool
week. Come on, Colonial people.
Give me some help.
I know one guy on the player selection committee. I will text him after the show.
Great.
Say, hey, get your eyes on Blaney Hale.
I would love that.
but we'll get you in the Colonial. That'd be awesome. Not we, but that would be fun. But just to play in your hometown is your point. That's what you look forward mm-hmm. to. But yeah, so, and then the season starts for you here and are you going to Hawaii?
2 weeks, yeah. So they have a player orientation in Hawaii on the 7th and, or 6th and 7th. So I have to go out there no matter what. And then
all first year card guys do or yes, every
all,
player?
All first year card guys do.
Okay.
And then I'm like right on the line right now if I'll get into that event or not. So if I don't, then my first event will be the Amex, which is in Palm Springs.
Shucks.
Yeah. Tough first couple of weeks.
So, all right. So they send you to Hawaii because you have to be there for work.
Right.
All right, let's talk about some of the fun things that have happened. Yeah. Okay, so people, let's just get into the sweetness. And when did you think about this? When did you start? Did you ever during the last day? How did you keep yourself from thinking about what could be if you didn't get a? You could have got a quadruple bogey on 18.
I could have made it,
and
yeah.
Still kept your card.
Could have made an 8 and been okay.
You played well, right? So yeah. Our friend Scotty won the Masters by double bogeying 18.
I felt like I'd just fallen the Dallas trend of that.
You got your PGA yes. Tour card by double bogeying 18 on the fourth day of Q School. That's because you played good golf beforehand. You earned exactly. The right to get a 6. You could have gotten an 8. You're still fine.
It would have been okay.
I'm glad you didn't, by the way.
Very glad I didn't.
That 6-inch putt would have looked really long at that point. One of my favorite stories with Arnold Palmer is that I think he got a 12 one time. Is that right? Didn't get a 12 on a hole?
I think so, yeah.
And they asked him, how'd you get a 12? He goes, I missed a short putt for an 11.
Exactly. That's how it always goes. Yes. How'd you make 9? Well, I missed a 4-footer for 8.
That's how it goes. But you didn't. You got the card. Yep. So we talked about these courtesy cards. Tell people what courtesy cards are.
So most weeks on the PGA Tour, they have a rental car ready for you, and most of the time it's sponsored by
Cadillac, BMW,
Lexus, whatever it is, and they have cars for you to drive for the week.
Like brand new.
Yes, most, yeah, straight off the lot.
2024, so. Straight off the lot.
Just for me, I was driving a 2005 Tahoe about this time last year until it got stolen. So
it got stolen. And that's a great story.
It is. Yeah, it's crazy. Cool.
Okay, tell. And this is, we got to maybe put the story down so you can mark it and tell people, go listen to this story.
Go listen to this one, yeah.
Okay, so you're taking your ever-loving 2005 Tahoe to North Park Mall.
Yes, to get some stuff for, I think I was getting a swimsuit for my honeymoon the next week.
Why not?
And I was going to practice after, so... I went to breakfast with Dragan, my CGF guy, and, yeah. And his wife.
We said CGF 10 times. Yeah. Just College Golf College Fellowship. Amazing ministry. Check it out. That's a lot of fun and been impactful to so many guys' lives. But College Golf Fellowship's really, really worth knowing about. But that's CGF. Got the shout out there. Didn't wear the geese shirt. You wore the CGF shirt.
Yes. And then, we went to breakfast, went to North Park. We're in there for probably 45 minutes, came outside. Car was gone.
Car's gone.
So I was like, oh, shoot. What do I do now? So my mom came and picked us up. We went to the police station, filed a report, but they never found anything. So, you know, but thankfully again, it fell at a great time of the year of I was about to be having a wedding and a honeymoon and I was going to be gone for a couple weeks. So got all new clubs. But a year later, I'm in Breckenridge up in Colorado and I get a random phone call and I don't answer it. And then a buddy texts me and goes, hey, did you get your club stolen again? And I go, I hope not. I'm in Breckenridge and my clubs are in Dallas. And so I call the guy back and he's like, hey, super weird. For some reason, I had gone into this golf shop one time before and gotten fit for a driver. And he goes, this is super weird. I just have this weird thing where I remember fitting people.
Okay, shout out to Dallas Golf.
Dallas Golf.
All right, my buddies at Dallas Golf. Yes. They're amazing guys, right?
Yes. And so Austin at Dallas Golf.
And you've done some, you've gotten some clubs customized there.
Basically, I'd gone and gotten a driver fit there.
Okay.
And so some guy had brought in some clubs and was going to sell them. And he noticed the driver and said, I've fit somebody in this driver before. Where'd you get these clubs from? And he goes, I got them off Facebook Marketplace. He goes, well, these are stolen clubs. And I'm going to have to take them from you. And
he recognized
the driver.
Your driver.
I don't know how, but he did.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there's 1,000 drivers.
Exactly.
I mean, how would you even look at a club and know it was fitted for you? What was it?
It was a Ping 425 with a, I think the way he noticed it was through the shaft. It was a pretty stiff shaft that just a normal Joe would not be playing in this club. And then he looked at the irons, and the irons were tour department irons.
Got it.
He looked at the wedges, and they were, you know, everything was pretty new, fresh, nice stuff. And I'm thinking the guy that came in there to sell him was not looking
didn't look like he was ranked the top couple hundred thousand like me.
Exactly.
And so
he told the guy, hey, I got to take these clubs. The guy said, take them, dipped. And
he just bolted.
He was out of there. And when I called Austin back, I go, well, did you see what car he was driving?
you don't want that back.
So so I got the clubs back, and then I started playing that driver again because it just was.
But this is recent, like what, 6 months ago? How long?
No, this would have been in the summer in August.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
first of August.
Yeah. And so
I played that driver. I still have it in my bag now, and I played some good golf with it.
Yeah. And that club just fits your swing.
Yeah, it's just the right shaft and the right
everything. But even though you can get the same shaft, sometimes it's just
not the same.
It's not the same. So we got it back. 6 months later, you got your PGA Tour card. You got your courtesy card. What else is coming your way?
There's all kinds of stuff. It was crazy. All the benefits and
stuff. So this is new because so people know, thanks to LIV Golf.
Thanks to LIV Golf, there's all kinds of new stuff.
Now there's a stipend.
Yes.
Didn't used to be.
Yeah, there's a player earnings program.
Yeah, where you get to keep it even if you don't make it. But you know, that used to be guys would go out there, they got to pay for their flights, they got to pay for their caddy, all this different stuff. You go play, you don't play well, that money's just gone.
They float you kind of a minimum.
Now they do. Yeah, thanks to LIV Golf.
Yeah, okay. Like a league minimum of... Just like in the NBA, if there's a veteran, this is the least amount of money I'll make this year.
Which is new. And again, that didn't used to be there, right? So
it's a huge blessing.
So here's the question. You can tell me, you want me to edit out if you want. You ready? LIV Golf calls today. They're looking to build a young deal. They're going to say, Blaney, here's $50 million. Come play for LIV. What are you doing?
Hopefully Monahan doesn't see it.
Do you think Monahan's going to make it all the way through this far of the podcast? 50
potentially,
mil.
Maybe.
But that was a real. I did have some guys call me that were friends on the tour, and they just said, "Hey, help me process this."
I think the biggest thing with that now is, I think there is actually a finish line to all that.
I know, and there needs to be.
There's a finish line. So, personally, a guy in my position, I would probably take it.
Yeah.
Because there is a finish line in the future of, hey, they're going to come back. Everything's going to form back together.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an event in Dallas this year. So I still get to play in front of friends.
Have they announced that? Is that for sure?
They haven't announced it yet, but I've heard a lot of rumors of, of Dallas.
LIV is coming. But I think the thing here is, so many people are like, how could you take that Saudi money? Let me just tell you, if you're going to go down that road, there's some not so great money in every business, right? Yeah. Whether it's China or Saudi Arabia, there's more moral equivalency there than you think. And I hate to say it, but if Monahan is listening, I'm telling you, buddy, you gotta go back and seek some forgiveness, because you really threw some guys under the bus for what they did,
for sure,
based on taking the moral high ground. But then all of a sudden, when you realize you're going to lose potentially everything because of dealings, all of a sudden now you can work with them. So look, it's a separate conversation for another day. But all that to say is, you get to play some amazing courses, every tournament you've grown up watching. Mm-hmm. How many starts are you going to get this year?
I think probably around 25-ish,
mm-hmm,
roughly. So I'll get to play, I'll play a lot of golf.
As much as you want.
Yeah, I'll play a lot of golf.
All right, so do you remember the verse I sent you? I think it was after, it was funny because I remember when we kind of went through some stuff where you lost. Was it the second stage you washed out last time, or first stage?
It was first stage. I missed it first stage last year by one shot.
By one shot. You had a lot of one shot misses, mm-hmm, right? Whether it's getting top 25 in that Corn Ferry event to move forward or to go forward, and that was all part of it. But I try in a deal like that to just always, hey, I want to celebrate what's good, but I just want to remind guys in the midst of that other stuff, like, hey, Blaney, what you want to live for is still all right there, right? Mm-hmm. And so just keep being the man that all of us cheer for, right? Whether you have a courtesy car or not, right? Because it's awesome when, you get to go in that little player's room and eat and go to those clubs and get treated like a king, because we obsess about sports. But, bro, this is where it's interesting. Earlier when we were talking, and Drayden kind of said, hey, get to figure out who you're going to be, mm-hmm, man. Like Elijah said to everybody in Israel in 1 Kings 18, how long will you waver between two opinions?
Yeah.
Right? And the thing that I have delighted in is I've watched you stop wavering, mm-hmm, between two opinions. Okay? I've seen a man that has decided that God isn't God of rules. He's a God that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, right? What a, mm-hmm, blessing. And when you realize it's not fun versus rules, it's deceptive ways versus life-giving obedience, Right. And the devil, man, he's so good at convincing us that that's where the party is. Right. And Jesus' whole pitch is, look, man, no, I've come, Blaine, not to rip you off, but to set you free. I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. It's the truth that will set you free, mm-hmm. right? And I've watched you learn that. And that's the card that you should have.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So Jesus has this amazing line when he's talking to the disciples. And he basically says something really nice. He said, but don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Mm-hmm. That's what you ought to really rejoice at. And when a guy figures that out, I mean, it changes everything about how he lives. But it's still hard, right?
Sure.
So let's just say you get injured, God forbid, or let's just say you lose your card after the first year. You know, no one wants to see that happen.
Right.
But that's where, you know, sooner or later, I've got friends who literally kept their card on the tour for, I think, 17 consecutive years. And eventually you lose your card.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, sooner or later, we're not going to be doing the things the world says, if you do this, we're going to celebrate you.
Yeah.
And the men that are really rich are the men that know, I'm not happy and doing okay because I have these things that the world loves. I'm rich because I have the thing that is never going to pass away. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, I tried to intentionally send you the same text, I think, when you made the finals.
Made it to finals, yeah.
That I sent you when you missed.
Missed it second, or missed it first last year, yeah.
And then, you know, this year, and I'll just do this. I'll let you read somewhere. This is the, I think I'll just pull up the picture, if not the text that I sent you, you know, from a while back. But this is what I sent you with. I'll let you read it.
Yeah.
You know, this is from Habakkuk, right? Mm-hmm. In the sticky pages of most Bibles, right? Habakkuk, I'm going to quiz you, Bible quiz. You ready?
Yeah.
Tell me what you know about Habakkuk. Anything?
Not much.
Okay. He's a prophet. Obviously, you knew that. Mm-hmm. But there's three kinds of prophet. There's pre-exilic, exilic, and post-exilic. Okay? And so all that means is there were some prophets who wrote warning them, hey, if you guys don't figure out who I am, I'm not going to keep protecting you and blessing you and providing for you the way that I am, which means there's going to be trouble that's going to come to your land. And there were three prophets. So those are pre-exilic prophets. Mm-hmm. Isaiah is the longest and most well-known of them. But there's many, many others. And then there's three exilic prophets, guys who wrote to them while they were in that 70 years of exile in Babylon. And then there are three post-exilic prophets, prophets who once they came out of that exile, God restored them to the land, basically says to them, hey, this is where you are now. That's why you were where you were. Don't make those mistakes.
Right.
So Habakkuk, okay, is one of the last of the pre-exilic prophets. And he is getting a word from God. Like, we're really done telling you this is going to come. Like, it's happening. Mm-hmm. It's going down now. And Habakkuk can't believe that God's going to use these wicked Babylonians, Chaldeans is what they're called at the time, to bring judgment to Israel and haul them off to Babylon to where they'll come to their senses and see that the fun of rebellion against God isn't really fun, mm-hmm. and then God will restore them. And so that's Habakkuk 1 and 2 are basically Habakkuk complaining to God, and Habakkuk, you know, actually Habakkuk 1 is Habakkuk complaining to God, and Habakkuk 2 and 3 is God telling Habakkuk why he's going to do it, and then Habakkuk finally listens and says, okay, I'm not going to tell you how to do things anymore. I'm going to just trust you. And then these great verses at the very end of Habakkuk. All right. So what chapter 3, verse
17.
All right. Why don't you read it to us?
Though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no fruit, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and he will make me walk on my high places.
That's it. So what do you think it means where it says that he'll make me walk with hinds' feet in high places? That's kind of strange language. There's a very famous devotional written by a gal called Hinds' Feet in High Places. All right.
I would think it means like standing up tall.
Okay, yeah. Good. So it's specifically talking about how, like, you know, those mountain goats, mm-hmm. and deer that can just run like crazy in the wilderness or
crazy terrain, and
crazy terrain is in effect, that's what the Lord gives to people who know him. It's like people are going to watch you, Blaine, when you miss, you know, getting out of the first round of Q school to go into Q1, still have joy and not just crater. And they're going to be like, how's that brother have a peace that passes understanding? Going to watch your car get stolen with your golf clubs in it and go, how's that guy not get bitter at God? Mm-hmm. Right? And they're going to watch you when you get things that the world says you need to be happy, not change who you are.
Yeah.
How's he handling that with such grace and such maturity? How can he say, you know, to the golf channel, whoever's interviewing you, hey, I'll be where I'm supposed to be next year, right? Mm-hmm. And where I'm supposed to be is loving kindness, practicing justice, and walking humbly with my Lord. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going to be, right? That's, buddy, that's the card to have. And that's what makes you a man that, you know, I don't want to just be in his posse. I want to celebrate him, and I want him to form a posse, mm-hmm. right, of other Christ followers who, you know, that's the thing, Blaine. You got to, the one thing I would go back and say to you when you were 17 or 18 or 19 at Oklahoma and you kind of say having your fun
yeah.
is, hey, man, we poured into you like crazy through high school mm-hmm. because we sent you up to Oklahoma to be God's man.
Right.
To be the guy that could say to his college teammates, come and see. Mm-hmm. Right. And you look back, you go, you know, probably didn't fulfill that mission.
No, I didn't. Yeah, definitely didn't.
Right. And so here's the thing. Praise God for grace. But now, let's just say you went on the PGA Tour, and we're so glad this isn't the case. But let's just say it's just debauchery and foolishness from zero to 125. Mm-hmm. Right? I would say, I don't care. You go be God's man with those guys,
yeah.
right? Don't make them your companions, but you be a friend of sinners. That's what one of the Jesus is, a friend of sinners. He's not a companion of sinners. And the difference is a friend loves at all times. Mm-hmm. A friend, you know, speaks the truth, right? Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, okay? And, you know, and a friend isn't somebody who is looking to be affirmed by you, right? He's looking to serve you and help you.
Right.
And so I would tell you, I don't care where you're walking, man. You need to be a guy that can create a come and see-ness mm-hmm. the rest of your days. And I'm glad you got a bunch of geese that you can fly with that will encourage you to do that. And
right.
and that is a great group of guys to invite others into. But that's the challenge, is to be a man in the midst of this world that now says, I don't need what the world offers. I'm going to invite the world out of its fun into life indeed, mm-hmm. right? And so, buddy, so happy that this is a sweet season for your life, but I'm even happier that you found where life indeed is.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right, just to wrap, is there anything that we need to, just going back to kind of some of the silly golf stuff, that we want to make sure we lay down here so you can say at the very end, we answer all these questions about the crazy golf things. What are the top few questions you're being asked right now?
A lot of the questions are talking about the week. A lot of them are just my story of how I got here, of just, you know, playing on the mini tours and that journey of playing small events and not necessarily having the glory of and the honor of playing in big time events. But I would say that I stayed faithful in those small events and treated them as if they were PGA Tour events and went about my way as if my coach at OU, Coach Hibble, always talked a lot about if you're playing good golf, it will just, everything else will take care of itself. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, everything else is gonna work out. And he was always a big believer in that, and I am too. Just from, if you're practicing and doing what you're supposed to be doing at home and you're beating the people consistently, then it's just going to continue to happen. So, that's been a lot of my story of this kind of season of life that I'm in.
Yep. Mm-hmm. People who love God, work hard. Are their stories going to end up like yours?
I would hope, pray that they do, but no, not necessarily.
Yeah. Most of them won't, yeah. Will they? Right. Not in terms of ending up with a PGA Tour card, mm-hmm. but they can end up with a, like I said earlier,
a peace and an understanding of where joy and happiness come
from.
Yeah,
bro. And I mean, I know the answer to this question, but if I told you I was going to take away your tour card or that peace and understanding you had right now, which one are you giving up?
Yeah, I'll give you the tour card.
Yeah,
you can have,
right.
You can have okay. two of them.
Yeah, so heck with live golf. I'm going to live life.
Yeah.
You can have your card, mm-hmm. right? And so, yeah.
And I'd say, too, the thing that I rested on a lot last week was Psalm 23 of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me behind still waters. In the midst of a crazy week, I think that's where a lot of my peace came from, of just, you make me lay down in green pastures, of just, you make me stop and think about what's important, and you lead me behind still waters where there were white caps on the you know, the ponds and the ocean behind me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a lot of peace of just having, I just felt a lot of peace that week through
Do you quote verses to yourself when you're out there in the course?
I do. So we had a CGF thing on Tuesday. One of the guys came in and did a Bible study with probably 10 guys. And that was a passage we kind of went over. So that was each morning I'd read, and then I would finish my kind of that morning with that psalm and kind of go about my day from there.
And see, that's the key. So that verse, because it's not the Lord is a shepherd. The Lord is.
You are. Yeah.
He's my shepherd, mm-hmm. right? When God's your shepherd, if you follow him,
right.
Okay.
Yes.
If you follow him, he will give you green pastures. But that doesn't mean he'll give you a top five finish at Q school.
No. Yeah. And that's not. And going into the week, it was just let me enjoy this, because this has been something I've wanted for so long, and I wanted to stay very centered and just let me go enjoy this week. And so
yeah.
I felt that.
Good. All right. Right now we're working with agents. We're getting our caddy. We're trying to figure out what sponsors we're going to wear. Do you have one tournament next year? You said the Byron.
Byron Hills,
any other one? Any course? Not that's Dallas. I'm trying to figure out questions people are going to ask you.
Courses. It'll just be really cool to play.
Have you already played Pebble?
I have played Pebble. We played in college there.
Okay, good.
I don't think I'll get into Pebble because it's a signature event this year.
Okay, so tell everybody what a signature event is.
So there's, because of LIV, there's now kind of a hierarchy of players on the PGA Tour. So there's obviously the majors, which is the best of the best, and then the signature events are basically the PGA Tour's equivalent to maybe LIV. So they take the top 70 players in the world or 70 players from last year, and they play just the top 70 in a PGA Tour event.
Are those no cut events?
Those are no cuts.
So are all the World Golf tournaments gone?
They're gone. Yeah.
Oh, really? They're all out.
World Golf Championship. That's basically what a signature event is now.
Okay. And there's how many of them?
I think there's 8 or 9 throughout the season.
And if you are one of those top 70, you have to play in all of those, or you have to play in a certain percentage of them.
They say you have to play in them, but I think you might be able to be out of like 1 or 2 of them.
Yeah.
And so.
Will those events, are those the events? Because during the World Golf events, they used to have the
opposite field. Some events have them, some events don't.
Yeah.
So some have opposite.
The majors usually don't. I mean, the British has an opposite.
British has an opposite field. There's a few events that have opposite.
Yeah, U.S. field. Open doesn't. Augusta Masters doesn't. No. PGA doesn't.
Yeah.
But okay. What else? Come on. Golf questions people are asking all the time.
Favorite courses. Probably Eugene Country Club in Oregon.
Really?
My freshman year was national championship there, and it was really, really cool.
Yeah. That's
special experience.
Did you win that year?
We didn't win that year, but we made match play, and it was kind of, I would say, like kind of the beginning of what was Oklahoma golf in terms of how we've kind of continued to stack really good years on top of years. And
yeah,
just special. It was the first time Oklahoma's ever made match play, and it was just a really cool week of all the things kind of connecting for us to make it, and really just a fun experience. And I just have fond memories of that place because of it.
All right. Okay. Well, I was trying to lay as much down as I could so you could push people to this and get all the questions asked. But as I said, Blaine's cell phone will be buried somewhere in this podcast. No, you can't find some number anywhere here. But hey, Blaney, I'm really happy for you, bro.
And thank you.
I'm happy for you, not just because of this in that you've been given along the way, but because you have found your way,
mm-hmm.
and you're like pilgrim in Christian's progress, making your way toward the celestial city, right? Mm-hmm. You got a godly wife who just happens to be beautiful, which is always a win-win.
Always.
But I'm telling you, I've watched you find a God so that you could be a man to a godly wife. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. Keep letting him be your shepherd. And let him lead you those green pastures and still waters.
Yes.
So proud of you. Happy
Thank
for you.
All right? Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
Yep.
See you.